Good morning and welcome to the Capital Gang. I am Oscar Semoyamsoke and there's a lot to discuss. The first one is the leader of opposition, I should now say outgoing, sent me a hamper, Christmas festival season hamper. Moses is the producer today. He will hand it over to me. NSSF has also sent me, I think it's a book. These very, very good people. Moses, the senior one, not Moses, the producer. Most welcome. Most welcome to Gang, Moses.
Thank you, yes. Oscar, my colleagues in the studio, our listeners out there.
Yes.
And everybody, I wish them Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Yeah. Well, Moses.
Including Honorable Semuju.
Including Honorable.
Well, no, Moses, by the way, Honorable Semuju has been away. I think for almost a month from the gang.
Yes.
So you're welcome, Honorable Semuju.
Yeah, but the phrasing.
You're the one welcoming him.
The phrasing actually excludes me.
I beg your pardon?
The phrasing. Has been special. Because yes. you have been away from the gang for a long time. So, and Abdu Katun to
his. Moses, let me finish. Abdu is on the way. Let me finish these introductions. So Moses has gifted Moses here new notes. Lady as well, new notes. Semuju, new notes. Semuju, can you return that money?
Return to whom?
To Moses. You can return. You know, this has
Moses,
been a,
Moses has
this has been the FDC problem all along, returning money. No, were new notes. So
Moses has
do you wish to return the money?
So you mean I should decline?
Yes. But isn't this what you're out?
All of
about?
You are not declining. Why are you inviting me to decline?
For you, that was the problem. Receiving money.
No.
These are new notes. So this is an opportunity
to
return the money.
The money that we have returned in Parliament was the specious money. I think the last one was to change the constitution. So we are being bribed to change the constitution. Moses is just giving me as a friend.
But isn't that the battle in FDC? Money, receiving money. There were new notes as well.
No.
Because
I didn't see
a former principal says he went back to the Bank of Uganda, checked,
I
and
didn't
there were new
see,
notes.
You know, him he saw, but me I didn't.
You didn't?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, and on to today's topics. Welcome to Gang, Edgar Tabaro. Pleasure to have you here.
Oscar,
again,
Moses gives me yogurt every Saturday.
Yes.
Why are you not asking me to return the yogurt?
Because that one is edible. You eat it later. So you're most welcome, Edgar Tabaro.
Thank you, Oscar. I'm humbled to be here.
Two Saturdays in a row.
Saturdays in a row. Yes. Thank you for the invitations. And importantly, Moses Wiaruhanga is one person I've worked very closely with. I don't want to disclose state secrets.
You disclosed too much already.
We already disclosed too much. Then for Honorable Semuju Nganda, we are contemporaries at Makerere. He was 1 year ahead of me. And I've seen him grow and mature.
So you're that young?
He's 1 year older than me.
I have aged.
He's 1 year older than me. And I've seen Honorable Semuju mature from the reporter he was.
And isn't it natural? That the years will keep.
No, he's become now, he's still that diamond.
Gentlemen, all of you younger.
Oscar Rebo Semuji is that diamond that needs to be polished. But he's a lot better than the person he was 25 years ago when we were at Makerere.
So is it everybody?
No, some people grow old, getting worse, and I don't want to give names. There are many in this region, particularly those who are responsible for the instability
that
we have in the region.
Leave Edgar and Semuju alone. We have a budget, a big budget it was, and then 4 months into the budget, congratulations to our gangster. I guess we will not have him on gang for a while as a gangster, the Honorable Joe Senyonyi, who's been appointed as the new LOP, leader of the opposition. Congratulations.
In parliament,
leader of opposition in parliament.
That would be clear.
Yes. And I don't know whether Semuju will accept the one he has been appointed to, or I don't know. But congratulations to them. Listeners, this is the second last gang of the year. Next week, we shall review the year. We also look deeper into the president's speech in his review of the year. So Moses, 3 trillion supplementary budget, 4 months. And by projection, in another 4 months, that will be 8 months, you might need another 4 trillion. What's happening? Why must we have a supplementary budget at this point in time?
Well, it's not a question of time, when, and it's a question of why you needed it. And it's not about that every 4 months you'll have another one. I think if you look at this supplementary, which was passed by Parliament like 10 days ago, I inquired from the Secretary of Treasury. That says that some of the items in the supplementary were in the budget that was presented to Parliament for approval in April. Unfortunately, Parliament cut the money on those items, most of which were unpostponable obligations or critical needs, and they are allocated to other unplanned expenditures favored by the MPs. This constituted much of the expenditure under the 3%, e.g. rural electrification, money for food for remand homes, special grant for persons with disabilities, money for oil roads, research and tuition, money for Makerere University, etc. These had been put in the original budget but had been removed by Parliament. So, and the government found them that they're critical to be served, so took them back for approval. The other category, the second category, the major category of the supplementary were projects funded by the World Bank and other financiers that needed revoting, reappropriation, having failed to spend the money during last financial year. This is money for seed secondary schools under UGIFT program, regional city roads, and USAMID, etc. Then the third category were items that government had failed to include in the budget at the time of approval in May due to limited fiscal space. Yet they can't wait for next financial year, e.g. census, national ID needed to kickstart the 2026 electoral roadmap, hosting of NAM, etc. These were foreseeable at the time of budgeting, but government realized later that they were unpostponable. Category 4 is the fourth category, where items that were purely unforeseen and unpostponable, e.g. collapse of Kayunga, that is the Sezwa Bridge, security threats due to terrorist attacks and on tourists, and other planned attacks in the country. This is what is contained in the classified budget under State House.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the 4 different categories in the supplementary budget which were passed. There are those which, as I said earlier, which were in the regional budget but Parliament had not passed them and government found them critical, they had to take them back. There are those which were unforeseeable, like security issues and ABCD.
The only one I felt in there was the one of is the NAM conference.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest, there's no reason to disbelieve that they will not return in another supplementary budget. But at least the NAM is an event that comes in and goes. And you wonder why Parliament would have refused it, rejected it.
No, that was not among the which Parliament had rejected, but was, I think they had not put enough money for it. There was also at some stage there was some discussion how much the government should invest in and so on and so forth, but eventually after the PSS tip sit in the category which they couldn't postpone, but it was needed, but they hadn't put budgeted for it enough at the time of budgeting.
Honorable Semenju?
Yes.
Mm.
First of all, every year we have handled the supplementary budget.
Not this early?
Yes.
This early?
Yes.
Mm.
Oh.
Sometimes you will have one supplementary budget, you also have another.
Mm.
But sometimes they even bring addendums to those supplementary budgets. So they first bring it and then they bring more other figures.
So we are just poor at budgeting?
No, we are not poor.
Mm.
This is deliberate. This is deliberate. First of all, you need to understand 2 things, Oscar.
Mm.
In our minority report, one of the arguments was you had people like Ruawogu, senior presidential advisor on investment and what, who was requesting for over 100 billion. And they were tricking us by asking parliament to approve at least 10. Our argument was the moment you allow you approve 10, then they will go under supplemental and give him the 90. So this classified that they are throwing in your faces that it is for security, it is for what? Because at that time, that's what they have done in the past.
Did you approve the last one you got, the 37 billion?
No, no, we approved part of it.
You approved part
of it. We approved part of it, and I think they looked shabby. Because if you bring, because you guys, you can't bring a budget with the names of president's family written on it. This is for Saleh, this is for Wabogo, this is for the man himself and his wife. I think now they have changed the tactic.
Is this factual?
I mean, if you have money and this item is for Wabogo, this one of Nakaseke is Saleh, this one is from Seven and Qatar, this one is for this. I think they are smarter. They are smarter. Instead of making too much noise, they have just brought one big figure, 100 billion classified under State House. Now they can quietly go and share. So it's a smarter way of avoiding scrutiny by parliament, but also the anger from the public.
Okay, Edgar Tabaro. On the supplementary, but these parliamentarians, they have money for cars as well.
Which cars?
SUVs you bought for
myself. But you can't supplementary budget.
It's from these
vehicles are no. These vehicles are not for MPs.
They are from for former speakers.
They are in the law.
Funded by parliament.
They are in the law that you will give them
emoluments.
You will give them a vehicle every after five years.
5 years. That's right.
So we have the money.
Let me address what you're trying to bring to the fore. Now, supplementary budget derives its authority under, I think, is it Article 156 of the Constitution that provides generally for budgeting, and the Public Finance Act. It has a very long title, almost a full page.
Public Finance Management Act.
Providing, you know, it gives the purpose and very long title. It was amended in 2015, I think, to give the minister responsible for finance or for budgeting latitude to present a supplementary budget in the first quarter of the fiscal year. But just a little bit of background. The public is supposed to be taking part in the budgeting processes. I think it starts around, is it September, when they call for I think budget proposals, budget circular. And that is the disjuncture that we have in the Republic of Uganda. Civil society, and when I'm talking of civil society, I'm not talking of those noisy NGOs that are funded by foreign agents, some of them agents and principled agents of regime change. I know when I talk about foreign funding, Honorable Semuju becomes
government.
When I talk of an principled regime change, Honorable Semuju becomes uncomfortable, but that's a topic for another day. So we don't participate in
He's
this.
He's known for removing governments.
Well, I.
At FDC headquarters.
FDCK, Katonga. Thank you, Moses, for the reminder. But, you know, there's a disjuncture. So, as such, and particularly persons in space like ours, Oscar, the so called intelligentsia, elite of Ugandan society, once you have an elite like us who are disjointed, who are not part and parcel of the governance process and holding our leaders to account, you're likely to have impunity and indiscipline setting in. And I don't want to miss words. The last time we had adherence to fiscal discipline was when the Honorable Suruma was in charge of the exchange. No, he was, but he wasn't being run roughshod like what we have now.
Maybe that's why he lost the job.
Yeah, he was actually.
I will tell you his story. When he was refusing to use money for State House, what happened to him?
Well, I mean, at least you know you agree with what I'm saying.
He was over
and I've read his book. When you kicked him out of, you people were investigating Temangalo. When you kicked him out of the Sir Apollo Kaggwa Road. He relocated to Washington to write his memoirs by the Brookings Institute, and he reduced it into a publication that I forget the title, but he gives accounts.
Yeah.
An account of how, from the time of UCB and what have you, and his time at as deputy governor and as director at the NRA.
I know your love for Suruma, but I'm trying to steer you back onto this supplementary budget.
I'm coming back to it.
In the limited time we have.
So the budget, the Public Finance Management Act, permits the minister latitude to present a supplementary budget in the first quarter. Now, it's supposed to be 3% of the appropriated budget, not of the entire budget. The entire budget is 52.8 trillion Uganda shillings. Now, of that 52.8, I don't remember the exact figure. Honorable, the person you're going to introduce next will probably give the exact figures. But in that budget, they are what they call statutory provisions in the budget. For instance, contributions to international organizations. There's the pensions. Those ones are not appropriate. They are statutory. So the question is it 3% of the entire budget,
yes,
or that of the appropriated
even
funds?
Statutory is appropriated.
So, given the challenges we have as a country, and the way we have panned out our politics in Uganda of rent seekers and patronage, I don't see this ending
soon.
And as we enter January 2024, it will be less than 2 years to the next nominations. Believe me, we are going to have supplementary budget after supplementary budget. And I'll be one of the persons who will be making a request for supplementary budget, and I'll tell you why. The tea industry has come to a grand halt. The tea prices that we are fetching at Mombasa auction are a third of the cost price, the unit cost of production of our teas.
So what do you want the public to do with you?
No, I'm addressing you.
For you.
I am addressing you, parliamentarians. Yeah. This is a critical sector.
Well,
this is a critical sector.
Well, Abdi, welcome to GAN.
This is a critical sector. But so
Edgar, pause for a second. There's a post here on Twitter from JBKB, whoever that is, says, at Semayams, okay, there was an item under the supplementary budget of 13 billion
for
under
artists.
Public service for money lenders associations. So does the Ministry of Public Service borrow from money lenders?
That's the question. You can see the tea growers.
Now the tea growers are
also. No, for us, we are coming. Honorable Katutu, I have you on notice.
Well, you may even come for the butchers and the meat.
No, for us, we are more organized than those ones. We are more organized than them. We are coming. That one you want to notice. And I'm going to tell Honorable Vyaruhanga right here that if you don't rescue the tea sector in 2026, please keep away from Toro. Please don't come and campaign there.
In this case, I should seek a supplementary budget for education and teachers. Mm. But
there was something for you gift, which is construction of schools was part of the
supplementary construction of schools. Where?
No. Let me give some information, and I hope you are not trying to spin. Just 1 second.
I'm coming to you. Don't worry, I'm coming. I was saying to Edgar, now that you're on open campaign, let me first go to Katuntu here. Most welcome to GAN, Abdu Katuntu. Now go ahead, starting with a response and then your remarks.
Which shirt is he putting on today?
This man, you know, he's the chairman of NAM. So,
Joyce Ebank.
Yes.
Anyhow, after
you've made your presentation, I'll ask you about how much they are giving.
Yeah, the U-Gift was money which had been appropriated last financial year, but it wasn't absorbed by.
I said that before you came.
So it was brought back.
Revolted.
Yes, it was revolted because that money had already been appropriated. It wasn't used.
I don't think I'm saying it was part of the supplementary.
Yes.
Yeah.
So on the supplementary budget, honorable.
Okay. You see, every permanent secretary. Okay, the last two. Let his soul rest in peace, Keith, and Ramadan. Now,
critical.
And the parliament thinks that this is also critical on their part.
Abdul,
what happens?
Abdul, imagine in a situation like in the American situation where you find at some stage the party in the opposition has a majority in the parliament and the executive. But you also say, for instance, like in the current America, you have
denied the money.
You have the Republicans being majority in the Congress, and the chief executive, the president, is a Democrat. So you can have such a situation in Uganda where Parliament is a majority, is opposition. Mm-hmm. And the president was from another party. So this,
in theory, can happen in Uganda.
This gives the leeway to the executive spend on what they think is a priority.
Let me ask one thing. One, I think it is also wrong politics and wrong thinking to imagine that because there is a side called the opposition, they must oppose the sitting government.
You can even have
opposition from within your own party. These particular rejections we had in the parliament.
By all of us.
NRM members refused. And then let me ask you, Moses, assuming, and we have with that instance where we rejected an expenditure, they came for parliamentary approval, and we declined. Would that be a rigged expenditure?
Well, how would you decline the 30%?
No, we said no. We said this one, we had rejected it, you can't bring it through the back door. This one, if you spend, that is your business. And we never gave that authority.
That one,
so what you are trying to do when you have that thinking, Moses?
We need a legal interpretation.
Anyway, Oscar, let me tell you.
But also, Oscar.
There is no court who say, can you prove? Can you approve? Because I said, I can't approve. I don't believe in it.
But the 3% allows you to spend.
But Oscar,
we refused that.
Semuju, yes. Go on, Semuju.
You see, the point...
Yeah. Let me have Semuju and then Edgar conclude this.
What Moses forgets is that even the 3% is qualified. The items that you can spend without prior parliamentary approval must be unforeseen, must be only an emergency. That's what the law says. So, yeah, you need to read. You can actually Google it. It's available. Mm. So it's not open-ended that you can go and spend on anything and then come back and tell the parliament approve. Okay. The law says it must be unforeseen. Mm. For example, if you have a flood, as you said, if bridges have collapsed, you need money and you can go actually and spend. Because you may never have budgeted
a natural disaster.
That Katonga will be washed away by the rain.
Though you can budget for Bududa or Katonga. So
yeah, so those ones
are very predictable.
Yeah. Mm. No, Katonga. I mean, I have used Katonga all my life. It has never broken. Mm. So those things that for which you cannot wait even a minute to fix, you can go and spend and come to parliament. What Moses Biaranga is insisting on is actually what government does. They just bring anything because oil roads cannot be an emergency, as if oil is starting to move tomorrow.
Well,
that's why parliament said there is no way parliament will stop,
Edgar
Tabaro,
conclude on
a project
this one.
That is ongoing.
I hope this will be a safe conclusion, unlike last week.
I know you like to push me against the wall, but in a pre-industrial economy, pre-industrial, pre-scientific, I've been warned about using this term, but anyway, I'll use it. In a primordial economy, rent seekers, patron, priorities are going to be skewed for the sitting government and responding to the pressures of
In short, we are going to remain poor.
No. In short, unless and until persons in our space, you and I in our space, don't hold our leaders to account. They will behave with impunity and the indiscipline shall multiply. I beg to submit.
This is a good time to go for a break. We'll come back from the break. This is the Capital Gang at Semuyam Soke. This is on Twitter. Eddie Ruma says the money for lenders. Eddie?
Pardon? Eddie Ruma.
No, it is Ed Hiruma.
Ediruma. That's a Chisoga name.
Ediruma. Okay. Ediruma what? The money for lenders accumulated as a result of money deducted from employees for loans but not remitted to the financial institutions. Is that possible?
What happened. In Uganda, things are possible. Mm. You can even imagine that your government can deduct money from its employees and doesn't remit to the
people. But it happens not only with the government.
Mm. Oscar.
Even the SSF, they do it.
Yeah, I have seen where...
From money lenders?
No. Lenders, you can... Maybe banks, even banks.
Okay. These are financial institutions.
Because if you have obligation for staff to pay banks for money they have picked, you may pay their salary and then you pay the banks later. Mm. But I think in this case, they did not pay.
In our organization, you want a loan from a bank, we give you a recommendation, the bank gives you money. So
no, what happens? Other institutions, they undertake. They undertake, and then they say they deduct from source.
Yeah.
Meaning, the employer deducts the money and remits it to the financial institution. And this particular case, government institutions were doing that. They were
deducting, remitting.
But then they were not remitting. In the private sector.
And Oscar, you can't get a better answer from that one other than from a parliamentarian. But on the other note,
which is true.
Private companies where they are not.
Listen, I won't go into detail, but the point I wanted to clarify.
Because the MPs borrow too much and.
They borrow and parliament remits.
So the MPs have a good experience on that. But I wanted to clarify, Oscar. You were mentioning that the thing came in a week where the speaker gave vehicles to former speakers, and that has been clarified by Abdu and Semuju. Now, you also brought in the issue that the president in the same week gave $1.2 billion to circles from the ghetto. I think that one is not
that is classified.
No, it's not.
We don't know.
It's not a show for expenditure. No, I'm not calling it so, because it's the president. These are people. These are Ugandans in these ghettos. They need financial services. If you go there, you find the young people. They are making shoes. They are making this. They are making this. But they want some financial inclusion, some form of financial inclusion. And now, wait. They need some financial inclusion. So, a team went and worked on them. They organized them because they feel they are left out in the government systems. And then they formed into circles through which they can borrow. And then they are given
$1.2 billion.
I have met many of them.
You know that's not in contention.
Before.
People need that money.
One day I met a group from Kawempe. They said...
Listen.
Somebody is saying, we are making... They are knitting. They are making sweaters. They are making shoes.
You are setting your own questions and answering them.
Different things. So,
that's not in contention.
So, no.
What is in contention is money. Hey.
The way you brought it's as if it is just you are spending anyhow.
Yeah, no, that's what it is.
No.
You said in a 1 week this country has released a lot of money. Do we have it? And
By the time you release the money you have. So for me, the issue
Moses is speaking from experience. In the 2000s, he was very critical in arranging for funding for border borders.
I did it, and I don't regret.
I'm not saying it's something you should be regretting.
I know
I'm saying you're speaking from experience.
I know these groups. I've worked with them closely. So funding them is good, but if it is not planned, not budgeted, it's a problem. The moment the president spends, that's the budget. Because he spends money from the budget.
Maybe after the show I'll try and understand these things because they seem complex.
I made my position clear.
No, we've gone to Congo.
Oh, DRC.
So the election, you're the lawyer in here. So what technique did they use to have an election going into the next day? And when shall we get the results? And will your man succeed?
Tshisekedi. Okay. I was a part of the group that brought him to Kampala and made the critical introductions. And Kampala was very critical in getting consensus, first of all, as a candidate. They had, if you recall...
You first go to my question. this.
Okay.
This, yes.
The election.
The election. Who's winning the election?
Election has been a logistical nightmare. 44 million registered voters. It cost $1.2 billion.
Which they had?
Yeah, they had it. Their budget is $18 billion. An area, the landmass area of the DRC is 2.4 million.
And, what is it, 78,000 polling stations?
Yeah, so 75,000 candidates for president, parliamentary, provincial assemblies, up to the to the territorial, what they call territoire. Territoire, what would be the equivalent of territoire here in Uganda?
Same thing.
I know you want to point out Mugwe. County, some local governments, because they have a semi-federal. They have some autonomy in their provinces. So the election materials arrived in the country as late as the 9th of December. They required 7 specialized aircrafts, which they didn't have, to deliver the materials to the remotest areas of the country.
And they didn't know they would require them?
Well, you'll get to understand what the DRC is like when we talk some more.
It was unforeseen.
No, they actually got assistance from Angola. And ironically, they requested for assistance from the UN that they are kicking out. But the biggest challenge was on the quality of the voting cards. The quality of the voting cards was poor. Then not all the voting materials arrived at polling stations. Some of the materials arrived a day after. So that's why they had to push the polling to the next day. Congo. No, Congo is not what you think it is. Many Ugandans, when you talk about Congo, your average Ugandan elite. No, you see, many Ugandans think that Congo is a jungle. But many people, that's what comes to the people's minds. Just like how Europeans think about Africa. Now, Kinshasa is a metropolis. We all drive on Kampala roads. You can't compare Kampala roads to Kinshasa. You can't even compare Kampala roads to Lubumbashi's. Even Goma airport is busier than our Entebbe International Airport. So you see the impression that is created they have many internal flights. Yeah. The impression that is created of Congo is the impression that we have of the Eastern DRC. The Eastern DRC are Swahili speakers. They are very disconnected from the rest of the country. Now, you particularly pointed out my candidate, Tshisekedi.
Yeah. Is he doing well?
Yeah, he's doing very well in the elections. Believe me, all predictions are very clear.
Even last time he did well?
Last time.
In Africa, the moment you have the capacity to announce yourself or to get announced.
No, in the last election.
I was trying to find a message. Because there was information that maybe his opponent was.
Moise Katumbi? Never. Never.
The one that starts with Fa.
Let me tell you. Katumbi belongs to a secessionist movement. He's from Katanga. Let me tell you a bit about Tshisekedi. Tshisekedi speaks all the 4 major lingua francas of Kinshasa, or rather of Congo. He speaks Kiswahili. Listen to me. He listens to Kiswahili. I speak to him in Kiswahili. Although my Kiswahili is a bit broken, but we communicate. For instance, when we are referring to M23, we don't say Shirini Natatu. We say Makumi Wawili Natatu. And we are able to what? To communicate. He speaks Kiswahili. He speaks Kituba. He speaks Lingala.
Theoretically, he has sent away Uganda and Rwanda, and he has said he will not sit at the same table with Rwanda. So this is posturing for the election?
No, it's not posturing for the election. It is the real mood in Kinshasa.
Mm.
And I want you to look at, I sent a picture to your inbox. I don't know whether you looked at it.
I'll have a look at it now.
Please look at it and tell the listeners who are in that picture.
But anyway, so you think he's going to win?
He's won that and election. He has won that election. Yeah.
And as Semuju says, he's won the election because he's the one who will announce the result.
No, not necessarily. He's been. Because let me tell you his delivery points. One, for the first 2 years of his term, Tshisekedi was working towards consolidating his position as president. President Kabila still ran the show until the third year, when he was able to muscle opposition, and bring, there were crossings from the opposition in both the lower and the upper house of their national assemblies. Two, he grew the budget from $4.7 billion to $18 billion.
By doing what?
One, how did he do it? One, he renegotiated the infrastructure for minerals deals with China. And actually kicked out some.
The spokesperson of Chicken.
He made it very clear. I have my bias. And please permit me. Just in case you feel uncomfortable,
no, go
and read Article 29.
But I have said
of what is left of our constitution.
Just one sentence.
Just of what is left of our constitution. Three, he introduced free primary education. I know free primary education has been with us for how many? 30 years. It seems something, commonplace. But in the Republic of Congo, it means so much. Two, he's introduced free medical care for expectant mothers, including cesarean, whatever, C-section deliveries. Four, he's delivered on critical infrastructure, particularly in Kinshasa.
Okay. You first pause then. To Moses Biaranga. Yeah. So, Moses, I don't know how much you can speak about a foreign country, but you'd agree that Congo makes us look good in terms of elections, managing elections.
Well, I've not followed. I haven't followed the election
process.
You're
not on microphone, but we'll come to you.
Listen.
I've not followed the
election. He can't even look Abdu in the eye when he says such a statement.
No. You see,
is looking at you.
I haven't followed the.
You don't look good. This show has been for Moses not looking good.
Oscar,
you don't want to say poor Moses.
Oscar, in the 90s there was a PS called Wagonda Muguri for agriculture, and there was the Valley Dam scandal. You know who were involved. Okay. So they asked him about a news reporter that appeared the previous day in the New Vision, and he gave a very safe answer. That I'm out of the country and I've not yet read that newspaper. Likewise with Moses, he has not followed the election.
But that's true. I have not.
I call him when he was Minister of State for Defense.
Defense.
So he halfway the interview, if you ask the question he can't answer, he says, the telephone number you have called.
please.
I am telling you.
Please. Let me switch off their
microphone. Please. But they are making a lot of noise.
I've switched off all their microphones.
You see.
Yeah.
The only thing I knew about the Congolese election.
Yes.
The only thing I knew about Congolese election was it was taking place on the 20th of December. I'm waiting for the result. But as a patriotic Ugandan, I would be happy if President Tshisekedi wins the election, because at least with his presidency, he allowed the Ugandan forces.
There's even Mwanga Morris here telling you that Sekandi and Kadaga didn't ask for those things. It's just the law. If Katuntu wants to change, let him go and amend the law. Sorry, I beg your pardon?
Sekandi had gone away with the vehicle of a speaker. Until they have given him his vehicle in the law. So let that guy not lie. We know about these things. When he was president, he went away with the vehicle for the speaker.
Anyway. Congo.
These things, if you are listening, really, these things, we don't have to further this debate conversation. It doesn't look good. If you think it is so, that's your opinion. Anyway, first of all, I'm really surprised that a senior presidential advisor of President Yoweri Museveni
can
say that he doesn't know anything about the DRC.
Katutu, you are being unfair to Moses. He's in a situation where he's uncomfortable.
Edgar, calm down.
Well, if you did follow, then you don't know what's going on. I'm really surprised. I am with you on that one. And
mm.
that is not the Moses I know.
Yeah.
And I think he was...
Because Congo is very central to Uganda.
It's not even possible. Mm. The Moses, you and me and the public.
And President Tshisekedi was here only recently.
No. He was supposed to come for an official visit, but it was coming into elections. He was advised to have a phone call instead
so
the president. But his advance team had already come.
Anyway, as a neighbor, and this Moses is right, we do wish our neighbors to have stable situations in their jurisdictions, in their countries, especially a country like Congo, because with the stability of Congo, especially in eastern Congo, Uganda has a lot to benefit from it. Because of the size of DRC, eastern Congo may trade more with its neighbors than even with Kinshasa, so long as there is some infrastructure.
Between eastern Congo is 3,800 kilometers.
Yeah. Can you
and
imagine?
That is only 1,500 kilometers from Mombasa.
You see? So that alone, and with the population they have, I think it is within Ugandan's interest that that place is stable. We can have a mutual benefit and so on. Did they expect any change? Really, Congo has not demonstrated to be one of those very democratic countries on the continent that can reflect the will, the political will of its population. Not yet. I don't think they are yet there. Because
they're
even
better than Uganda, they cheat elections but change presidents.
I don't know what is better with the what. If you cheat and you change and you cheat and you don't change, whether.
Just
to me, we are looking at countries, for example, on the continent like Ghana, like Botswana, and so on, or even Tanzania, where you know that there is some democracy and whatever goes there,
Malawi,
it is the true will of the people. So I don't think Congo is already there. But even if they cheat like Honorable Semuju says, but somehow they managed to get a stable government, we can't, first of all, interfere in their internal politics. But for us, I know Edgar, is a spokesperson of President Tshisekedi, but
in Uganda.
Uganda. But then that's not a big deal. So let's look at it this way. Whether they cheat, so long as it is stable, for us, we just demand stability of that area. The cheating, they can sort themselves, so because it can't be our business. Secondly, Oscar, they are now part of the East African community. And, you know, to have a community where you have Somalia, they are shooting each other, you have Eastern Congo shooting each other. South Sudan is a little bit stable these days. They aren't shooting so much. I mean, it doesn't all go well for the region. And even the benefits we are thinking would be accruing as a result of having a bigger bloc may not come. If Eastern Congo is engaged in this M23 rebellion, massacring, I'm not so sure whether there will be any benefit arising from that particular part of the country. We wish them well.
Remember Semenju?
But Moses should say sorry.
For pretending. You see, Oscar, Congo officially is important, but also unofficially. If you've been looking at the figures by Minister of Finance,
Yoweri Museveni, President of the Republic of Uganda, was very emphatic and intentional and categorical when he was attracting the Africa Gold refineries at off Sebogwawa Road in Entebbe. As a result of that refinery coming to Uganda, this is what happened. To refine gold. Do you know, we're even attracting gold from as far as Gambia to come and do their refinery here. Even Tanzanians now are preferring Uganda for their refineries. So
we have gold coming in legally.
Legally, it's not robbed. And let me, more importantly, gold is a medium of exchange. So Ugandan goods are purchased using gold because the DRC currency is illiquid. It's not convertible. You cannot convert it into Uganda shillings. Same as South Sudan. So If you look at the Bank of Uganda,
why can Burundi pay in gold?
If you look at, let us not discuss Burundi. We are discussing DRC. I know why you want to drag me in
direction. No. The president last night said that Uganda Airlines has $10 million dollars all over the world, including Burundi.
Burundi, yes.
That does not have dollars.
I'm coming to that, and that's how our
we have run out of time.
That's how our currency has stabilized. The gold re-exports from Uganda are inversely proportional to the commodities that are exported from Uganda to that part of the world, DRC and Sudan. So the impression that we steal that gold is not correct. It is coming here legally, willing seller, willing buyer. And that's what has stabilized our economy. If you look at the currencies in the, among others, if you look at the currencies, if you look at the currencies in sub-Saharan Africa, Uganda's currency has performed the best. And that is the major reason.
Moses is going to give you a bit more of his time. Those are the things. We'll come back from the break next week in our conclusions of a year. Please start collecting. Send your list and on X, formerly Twitter, to @SemweyamSoki at Capital FM Uganda. And make a list of what we can review of 2023, the good, the bad, and the not so good. Greens Kansime disagrees with Edgar Tabar. He says re-election of President Felix Tshisekedi is very much insignificant to our regional stability and indeed bad news. He is already at loggerheads with President Kagame and President Ruto and regional leaders. He doesn't believe in political dialogue. That's Greens Kansime, a regular listener. BMK Gift says, I am enjoying this, but tell Edgar to stop heckling and listen. We changed topics. I beg your pardon. We haven't done Sudan because there was breaking news. Even the one for the president, we'll address that next week. But let's go to NUP and the opposition in parliament. And, well, NUP yesterday.
You're saying there's breaking news in Sudan?
No, I beg your pardon. I meant yesterday's breaking news of change in the opposition, in parliament. So, Honorable Abdul Katuntu, it's your turn to congratulate our young parliament.
Within parliament, working together. Reshuffles sometimes are a little bit uneasy because other people who have been occupying places are being dropped. This, we saw it coming. For some time, it has been a public debate. And I think the National Unity Platform strategy now, at this particular point in time, they think they should have another leader of the stature, character, or strategy of Senyon. And you can't begrudge them. We can only wish them well. My only view is that they took this, having learnt from the past actions of different political parties that changed leadership. If there are weaknesses that arose as a result of that decision, they took that into consideration. Mathias Mpuga, one, extremely intelligent, smart, both figuratively and literally. He's got a master of both the Queen's language and the Kabaka's language. He's quick-witted, Mathias. And he had cultivated that stature in the house. Even those who on the other side, when he stood up, they have to listen. It would be very difficult to engage Mathias if you are a pedestrian thinker, and many of them who tried really were not looking very good. We can engage in a debate at a very sophisticated level,
or at any level.
And he mastered his language, he's quick-witted and so on. So as far as leader of opposition, in my view, Mathias has done extremely well in parliament. There is no issue which rises, a critical issue, and if you tell him, please, what do you have to say? And he doesn't. He has nothing to say. Everybody in that house respects Mathias. I hope there's something to learn from him by Joe when he comes in. I can only wish them well. Mathias has been a very good one. I can only compare him to Professor Latigo. equally good and articulate and respectable leaders of opposition. NUP has its own strategies, and I think now it is the man to steer the ship is Senyonyi. Wish them well.
Moses, congratulations to our Joel here.
Well, congratulations to the Honorable Joel Senyonyi, MP Nakawa, is it East or West? One of those. And also congratulations to Mathias Mpuga for the term he has served. In the last of maybe 1 year or so, six months to 1 year, it has been a bit evident that Mathias will not be reappointed, because
that one you have been following.
I've been following.
What a weekend!
The other one is foreign relations.
Because he has taken it 1 year ago.
Yeah. I deal with internal relations, not foreign. So yeah. I could see it was coming, because I hope. During the FDC time when they were leading the opposition, like when Professor Latigo was changed.
He was never changed.
He
lost the election. Yeah. And yeah. They would have reappointed
someone. So.
Or when Winnie Kiza was changed.
Yes, but here you see, when Kiza was changed, thank you for the reminder. You could see there was unity within the party moving together. But here, in the last 6 months, you have been seeing Mpuga being accused of certain things, blah, blah, blah. You could hear some rumors in the papers here and there, in social media. The other people seeing the original People Power Group, saying you people who came to join are not as good as us.
Yeah, not People Power.
Yeah, not your People Power. So.
In your NRM language, you call him historicals.
They were historicals, yeah.
Creepers.
So there were historicals and creepers. So that's why I say it was. Yeah, I saw it coming. And one time, I remember, I told Joel here, I think we're going to meet the next leader of opposition. I was just speaking aloud, but he's become one. So. The point I'm raising here is that will they remain united, or is this a sign of breakaways? So we there's a lot to see in the next 1.5 years, but the way it moved, my prediction is that something is cracking.
Yeah. Edgar Tabaro.
And once again, I congratulate Semuju. Now, we've been talking about supplementary, now that it is the shadow minister of finance.
He's going to be in there.
He's a very big person.
Yeah, yeah. That's why he already knew the KCCA budget that you did not allow him to read. But
I process a budget, Oscar. How can I not know?
He's a member of the budget committee.
Yes.
And before you came, I did announce that I've received a gift hamper, came in on Thursday from the Honorable Mpuga. Lead of opposition in parliament, yes. And Moses also gave us.
Was that the last function he performed?
Perhaps.
In January, we shall get one from the incoming.
Since he's our own.
For New Year.
Yes. And whilst you're away, Moses also gave new notes here. Everyone received new notes, apart from, I think, Edgar.
I'll be happy to receive my notes.
I know. You are not receiving. You go and receive from Shikedi.
No, Edgar's currency is inconvertible.
It's inconvertible.
but Edgar, on NUP, we shall.
NUP, okay. I wish to congratulate Joe.
Were you surprised, Joe, becoming leader of opposition?
Senyonyi, I gave Senyonyi his first job. When I was managing director at Uganda Broadcasting Corporation. He said it on air when we were together.
Yeah.
And Senyonyi is a very brilliant fellow. He's a bit of a diamond that needs a polishing. And he has come of age, but there are many things he still needs to work on. If he can accept positive criticism and feedback. He's only 34 years. No, not yet 37. I remember
in that range.
In that range. No, he can't be 37.
But he's in that range.
But isn't Bobby Wine 37?
We don't have to have accuracy on that one. Gentlemen.
Bobby Wine has stagnated at 37.
We don't need accuracy.
But I'm not talking about Bobby Wine.
I'm giving context to it.
It is not necessary context. We are talking about Joel Senyonyi.
Joel Senyonyi.
Yes, please go ahead.
Joel Senyonyi represents a generation that is very different from ours. I told you I was at university with Honorable Semuju. He's 48, I'm 47.
No, I am 50. Yeah, I went to school when
I know you didn't do nursery school, but that is okay.
He went to primary when he was 11.
You're contesting his age now. I think the honorable Mpuga Mathias is 48. Now, those of us who are in that age bracket, believe me, do not necessarily represent the demographics of Uganda. In 2026,
but the MK movement is bringing a youth.
I'm talking about Joel Senyonyi, the honorable Joel Senyonyi. He's closer to the demographic statistics of Uganda. In 2026, we're having another 10 million voters going on the electoral roll. The 81% of the voters in 2026 will be between the age of 18 and 30. Now, Joel Senyonyi, being a media figure, an intelligent fellow, and quite frankly, will be appealing to that age group.
And as Abdu said, he's articulate in both the English and the Lugano.
That is Mathias.
But I'm saying Senyonyi.
Senyonyi as well.
Yeah.
And I think, what
is Edgar driving at? He say he will be appealing. You mean is he going to be the president of no?
There's word that he will contest for president, and behind the scenes, there's
he's,
been.
He's not. He's not.
Let me tell you.
He's not as mad as Semuju yet.
Semuju has matured as well.
I think Edgar concert money on Kishasha. Really.
I know you are very uncomfortable when we go in that area.
So you're thinking NUP has made a good choice.
Okay, I take your advice in good faith. So he's going to be more appealing to that crowd. Honorable Mathias Mpuga appeared a little elitist. Ex-Buganda minister, Buganda Kingdom minister. Isn't he like a third term or maybe fourth term, fifth term MP like the Honorable Kantutu and the Honorable Semuju? So, and you remember when he was organizing, what was that group? Walk to work in which Katuto walked only once in Nakawa. I think the soles of the shoes squeezed him so hard, then he went back to drive his Jaguar. But you remember,
at first I thought it was really then there was an interaction.
But you remember actually the architect for walk to work was Mpuga, but he remained operating from the what behind the scenes and sending text messages on WhatsApp and what have you.
Same as Cartoon.
I'm going to drive the point home. Joel has been on the streets with his principal. So I think, to put it in the manner in which Moses has put it, there's been some friction between the creepers and the original 27 of the Bush War of Bobby Wine People Power. And I think it represents a shift to the radical group. The radical group that is led by Lewis Ngogonyi. The Secretary General of NUP.
They're radical. You know, as we go to Semuja's smiling here, one person calling Puga elitist, when he himself should have been talking about us, the elitists, Tabaro, Attorney General, and so on. You are firmly in the Mpuga class.
Yes, true. I appear as elitist. But you come to Tora and find me among tick placards.
You don't appear, you are.
I'm not elitist, Honorable Katu. You come to Toro, you'll see.
By the way, it is a compliment.
You can call it a compliment, but for us revolutionaries, it's not a compliment for us. Revolutionaries like I and Moses, we are wrong.
Don't spoil this issue. Honorable Semuju,
yes.
NUP.
Let me begin by congratulating the Honorable Joel Senyonyi. He's of the same background, media person. And also for him to be a leader of opposition in the first term in the parliament. And of course, thank the Honorable Mpuga. Mpuga and I met when we were in Senior 2. there are two issues at Parliament.
Mm.
The first, and historically, how do you relate to your headquarter when you're at Parliament? There is usually a problem. Are you still, does the headquarter still feel you? And that usually caused the problem even within the FDC. You need to speak to Professor Genga Latigo.
Mm.
At one time, he had to tell his headquarter, please, I'm not picking orders from there. Let me read. so usually when you are a leader of opposition, you must be mindful.
Or but when also, you had the factions in
FDC, but also in the
militant and the diplomatic.
But also in the Ugandan context, an MP is not a very popular person with the ordinary supporters of political parties. I remember one time, the Honorable Wafula was telling me about MPs. They will drive to Najanankumi, their huge vehicles, to go and force a decision. So the MPs, they are not usually popular with the base of political parties. First of all, you are earning. People think they are the ones who are doing most of the things, and for you, you are just enjoying.
Our problem. Yeah. That the headquarters are run by people who tried to compete for offices and they lost
most of the time.
And that's where that's at. And in Najanankumbi at that time.
So that is usually
apart from FDC.
So that's the first issue, Oscar, I want to deal with. That you have a headquarter to serve, but also you have a constituency of MPs to serve at Parliament. Sometimes your interests tend to conflict.
Mm.
But also the working in an NRM Parliament, the public sometimes tend to forget. And I have seen some of the things they accuse the Honorable Mpuga. Anyone who wants to be a leader of opposition will be accused of the same things. That you meet the speaker. If you are a leader of opposition in Parliament and you can't work, so there is no relationship with the speaker to do work, you are in trouble.
I also wondered about that.
Yeah.
So they will mend their, you know, politicians, no public, permanent enemy, no permanent friend.
It is not possible. Both of you are in charge of Parliament together with the Prime Minister. Every day you must meet because you prepare an order paper and you have an interest as a leader of opposition. So if you begin clashing with the speaker, maybe you will never be functional as a leader of opposition.
How will you ever get on the order paper?
So that people need to understand. I saw many
his
people
things have not been getting onto the order paper because he's been in a fight with the speaker for quite a while.
Who?
Joel, beginning with the airline reporter. He's going to start straight away.
It may not be possible. You see, everybody was attempted. Ask Kenny Ruchams when he had issues with the secondi.
Hey.
Secondi threw him out. They even stopped him from nominating.
Yeah,
and they are from the same area. But
so I wanted, as the Honorable Senyonyi comes in, for people who made that as an issue with Honorable Mpuga to understand. That to function as a leader of opposition, you will need to relate with others that are in Parliament.
Mm.
But I also said earlier that the headquarter, usually there is a problem between the headquarter and those who serve in Parliament. Decisions of Parliament are sometimes don't please those at the headquarters. So the headquarters ordinarily tend to be more activist than members of Parliament.
True.
Because you see, you are on a formal platform where you can speak. You may know. I mean, sometimes things can get. Mm. I remember the Abdu knows it.
Yeah.
When we were in a meeting for many days, and some MP said, "When we go for Toji Kwatako, let's begin by fighting." I said, "No. I mean, even you know, in normal life, you need to first quarrel. You can't begin fighting. Life. Yeah. So the Abdus had difficulties restraining some of their troops. That please, even if it is Muzigo, you first quarrel and everybody sees that you are quarreling, and then you can begin boxing. But you can't enter the parliamentary chambers, and the first thing is to box.
What about now, Honorable Semuju, who has gone opposition minister of finance? Have you sorted out the things like fiscal deficits and so on?
But those ones, I don't know. People tend to glorify the economic terms. Because if
your friend Andrew Mwenda, forget it.
Mm. Yeah, but if you have put them in everyday language, everybody will understand. For me, in my constituency, people even understand GDP, ordinary people, because I don't speak GDP, but
of
I explain. but I explain to them what these terms mean, because I am not in an economic classroom in Makerere. I am, people who consume my service are ordinary people. I don't even think they care about the physical deficit that Mwenda was speaking about.
Yeah. The Honorable Katuntu, as we near conclusion, you, some of the things of Bobby Wine of NUP at the very beginning, a long time ago, when people had all these impressions of him, and he was saying Moses refused to go to the ghetto, let him bring the ghetto. And
has, Moses is there.
He has
they
brought the ghetto.
They are now distributing money.
Now Moses has also now gone to the ghetto.
No, he
has been to the, now the 1 point, for him he goes in a big way, he took 1.2 billion to the ghetto. But
anybody who ignores Moses.
No, but so he has really brought the ghetto to parliament.
Actually to the national agenda, and you have to credit him. The ghetto should credit him. At some point, Moses tried, but he didn't penetrate so much the ghetto until the ghetto itself came out and said, hey, here we are, and we're a big constituency, and we can even compete for political power. Today, any political strategist now knows that that is a big, big constituency. And thanks to Robert Chagulani,
President Museveni hosted them earlier this week.
It has now attracted the attention it used not to have. The other day, of course, as you are saying, they were in Kololo. But when they were leaving Kololo, what they did to streets there, my God. People didn't have phones. It was just real.
They didn't even give the president opportunity to speak to
I can tell you.
I had never seen. You know, the president.
I've never seen the president.
Yeah, I would say, don't use that. Don't use the word. Just say, you ask them to be quiet.
No, I have never seen President Museveni lose his cool.
Yeah, but
when addressing a crowd.
Yeah. But yeah.
Very uncharacteristic of
him. Let me tell you.
Who you are dealing
that
with.
Is the ghetto. For him to lose the cool actually also was a mistake on his part. He should so he was not addressing Eddie Gandhi Katuntu and others.
Yeah, but
no.
But how would you, if I have given you my money and you are not listening?
Do they listen? Do they listen?
No.
So to me that is what the ghetto is all about.
Same with you. You're the one who said Koro first. So he was quarreling.
You know, Semuju always reminds, it was a very difficult time for us with Semuju here. Very, very difficult time. I'll never forget. It's part of in my memos and so on. Those meetings are very, very bad.
You were supposed to go to
one,
a university and let me
finish this.
So, Edgar, now I no longer trust you. This conclusion is Abdul's only.
So that is now the ghetto today.
If anyone wants to say something, one sentence. Because now I don't trust anyone to say
the
anything.
Ghetto.
Hold on, you first. You speak last. These people, I don't trust them. Moses, your one sentence.
My one sentence on the ghetto is that we need to penetrate such a groups much more as the government, as NRM, and we are doing more.
Okay. Edgar, your one sentence.
I think,
and let it not be about MK.
No,
as we talk about the ghetto,
I've never spoken about MK.
That's why I'm saying don't.
That
start
is the position I've taken. I keep off that topic.
Okay.
And please, when you are discussing it, keep me away. I will not come.
You're already there. We've heard your opinion.
Honorable Katuntu, this is my conclusion.
Inform Edgar that Joel was 19 when he joined UBC. In
yes. He was at university. He had just entered. Yeah. And by the way, he got the job on merit.
Yeah.
He was the best interviewee for that interview.
And then another one, Semuju was thrown out of parliament by the late Olanya. People on Twitter, they have, we know.
Okay, so my one sentence. In all that we do, particularly persons in our space, is to deepen the discussion on not who is right, but what is right for Uganda.
Yeah. Honorable Semuju, your one sentence. It's good you say you don't want to be thrown out of parliament.
No, I have grown. I remember one time I had a rally in Chireka. I was, when they brought pink, they were sprinkling me. I had to stay away because my children were at home.
You couldn't go back in pink.
You don't want to go home like that. So when you have a family, there are things you don't
think
do.
You change. And also Joel, when he had his first child, remember on the table here, we were congratulating him. Welcome to the world of responsibilities.
Yeah.
So Abdul, final word on gang.
So the ghetto is going to be a very critical constituency for any politician. But the state should get so much involved. If you don't penetrate the ghetto in a positive way, you end up breeding the sobies of this world. and they can be very, very dangerous to cities. Mm. I have been to Kingston in Jamaica, and there are places you don't go to. Even police fights, when they are going there, it's really...
They ready themselves.
It is war. And they go, they are having running battles. There are even victims on both sides, and police eventually withdraw, say, after this, maybe they can calm down. So you don't need ghetto headquarters there and so on. It will be really, really big trouble. Mm. Because there are many, many cities in the world with ghetto headquarters and a no-go area.
Okay, so I'd like to wish listeners of the Capital Gang a Merry Christmas. We shall be here for the final show of the year, as I said before, list what we should review, and we'll put out a poster saying we'll only discuss what you've listed. Star Cafe, thank you very much for powering the gang. Honorable Katuntu has been a bit lazy this morning. I think he only had one cup of tea. But Semuju, having missed out a bit.
For the meeting.
Semuju having missed out a bit. He has really worked today. Thank you, Honorable Semuju. Mega Yogurt, Moses is here, Mega Yogurt. And he had new notes for Semuju. Semuju has not returned them. Abdu, again, you are not here. When I announced NSSF sent me a large envelope, and I found out there's a notebook in there, a pen and a card. Thank you, NSSF. Please continue listening to our platforms, media platforms. I am Oscar Semoyam Soke, and I shall see you next week.